And it is 11:17. You're listening to KYR 89.1. I'm Daniel Brain. We're breaking into our programming this hour to bring you live coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's latest daily briefing, weekly briefing, on the COVID-19 pandemic here in Arkansas. Today's briefing comes a day after we saw an increase of 986 more COVID-19 cases here in the state. That brought the total number of active cases to 23,576. We also saw yesterday a record number of Arkansans who were on a ventilator in the hospital. That total was 349. We saw hospitalizations yesterday rise by 42 to a total of 1,411. And we saw 30 additional deaths. That brought the total there to 6,704. We also heard yesterday on a national scale that the U.S. Food and Drug Administration granted final approval to the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. Governor Asa Hutchinson in the past has called on the FDA to do so, saying that it would help combat some vaccine hesitancy here in the state. And we will see whether that will be the case. We have currently just 1.1 million Arkansans fully immunized. And now we go live to the governor speaking from the state capitol. This is KYR 89.1.
Thank you for joining me today at a different time, but it's important to make some comments and to cover a couple of items today before we continue. And I'm pleased to be joined, of course, by Dr. Jose Romero, Secretary of Health, Secretary Johnny Key of the Department of Education, and then we have Commander Bradley Cox of our Army National Guard that has joined us as well. And I want to mention a couple things. First of all, I was in our pre-discussions, I was informed that our ICU beds for COVID patients are full in Arkansas right now. And I share that because everybody should know that the strain this is on our hospitals and the need to get our vaccinations and how critical our bed space is. And it fluctuates day by day, but right now, because of the increased number of COVID patients that need that type of ICU care, those beds are full right now. I know our hospitals are trying to bring some additional online, but that is a cautionary note for everyone. And it should emphasize the need to get our vaccinations done for COVID that are available to you. This last 24 hours, we've had 10,950 doses given out, which is not bad, but we need that to increase. Secondly, I did get off the call with the White House Coronavirus Task Force and with our CDC director, with Jeff Zients, our coordinator, and others, went through a number of different topics. So one of them came up about booster shots, and everyone is aware that the FDA has approved booster shots for those that are immunocompromised. And the information that I have is that the earliest it will be available for the general population, those that are vaccine eligible, the earliest that the booster shot would be available would be September 20th. And so they're still working on that timeline, but that is the information. And I put that out there because it's important for everyone to not think it's going to happen tomorrow, that they're going to be eligible for it and should go try to get the booster shot. And as a reminder, this booster shot are for those that are 8 months after their second dose. And of course, we do not anticipate that that will be approved before September 20th. I also wanted to mention today that the Department of Health will be posting an advisory on ivermectin. I had never heard of ivermectin until I went to one of our community COVID conversations and the topic was brought up. And since then, it has become a thing out there on the media, or social media, I should say. And the Arkansas Poison Control Center is where people call whenever they have an adverse consequence or concern about a poison. The calls have been in increasing numbers regarding individuals who have taken ivermectin, simply the calls that come into the Poison Control Center. And that's ivermectin that is intended for animal or livestock use, and it is not to be used for human consumption. The drugs intended for veterinary use are made with higher doses of the medication for use in large animals and can be highly toxic in humans. And so there are approved uses for ivermectin in both humans and animals. The Department of Health advises people to never take any medication intended to treat animals and to only take ivermectin as prescribed by their physician. And Dr. Romero might have some additional items to say about that, but I think it's got to the point that it is important for us to make that public announcement that you have to be careful and not take that which is designed for large animals. Then I wanted to cover a couple of items from the graph just to give a perspective as to the hospitalizations. And you can see in November of 2020, 63 was the average age of those hospitalized. That continued, and it started in January of 21 being reduced. And we see that now, consistently, the average age in the hospital is 54 and a half years of age. And so the average age of those hospitalized is lower. And so with the Delta variant, we're seeing more serious consequences in the younger ages, groups like this. And of course, that somehow reflects, it also reflects the vaccination rate in those two different populations. And then the next one, you'll see again the emphasis that we have. This is the vaccination status of cases, hospitalizations, and deaths since February 1 of 2021. On cases, over 90% of the cases have not been fully vaccinated. In hospitalizations, over 92% of the hospitalizations have not been fully vaccinated. And the deaths, of course, over 90% have not been fully vaccinated. That tells the story as to the need to increase the vaccination rates across Arkansas. I know that there's been some questions about the Afghan refugees and whether Arkansas would receive any of those into our military installations. And that's one of the reasons I conferred with General Kendall Penn yesterday, Commander Bradley Cox. I asked him to be here today. And the information that I have is that the sites in Arkansas have been evaluated. They're not in the top tier of installations for receiving large numbers of Afghan refugees. So I don't anticipate that happening. We are in a backup position that if other states are not able to handle it, the installations and we are receiving more refugees than anticipated, it could be an overflow, but we're not on the front line on that as the latest information that I have. And with that, I wanted to ask Dr. Romero to come and make comments, and then I asked Secretary Key to be here to give us a school update. Dr. Romero.
And this is Health Secretary Dr. Jose Romero. You're listening to KYR 89.1.
Thank you, Governor. Good morning. So I'm going to focus my comments on two things today, the ivermectin and the booster doses. So the advice recommendations that are being issued by the Health Department pertain to veterinary-grade ivermectin, not to prescription-grade ivermectin. Ivermectin can be prescribed off-label for other uses, and that is a decision between the physician and his patient. But what we're seeing across the South, not just our state, is that veterinary-grade ivermectin is being taken by humans, and we're seeing increased numbers of cases both in adults and in children that are being reported to a poison control center. So If you've taken this, you've had nausea, vomiting, neurologic symptoms, please call the Poison Control Center or your doctor for advice. Regarding boosters, again, boosters we think will be available starting September 20th. This will be for those individuals that have received their dose, second dose, 8 months prior to that. Now, that means that if you received a dose in March, you will be eligible 8 months from that. So not everybody will be eligible starting in September. It's very important to keep that in mind. And the reason why that is because your antibody levels have not fallen far enough that they need to be boosted. So you will become eligible 8 months after your last dose. That means that you'll wait until that period of time, and we don't want to run on pharmacies and our health units. But we do have vaccine. We have plans in place to provide these vaccines. And this is for the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccines. No recommendation yet for boosters in the Johnson & Johnson vaccines. Thank you very much.
And this is Education Secretary Johnny Key.
Again, our second week of school this week. We have seen an increase in the number of cases of students and staff. It has risen by just under 300 between yesterday's report and last week's report, which is not unexpected. However, the good news is that we have not seen any districts that have had to make any modifications to their on-site instruction. So at this point, there have been no districts that have pivoted to virtual or had to make any modifications due to a large number of positive cases or due to quarantines. We are about to enter another phase in our Stop the Hesitation, Get the Vaccination campaign in our school districts. Over the next several weeks, we will be partnering with the health department and with the AAA to offer clinics at some of the regional rivalry football games. We are working with the AAA to identify where those games are, what would be good candidates for those games, and begin that process, targeting about 3 to 4 games across the state on those Friday nights. We hope that now, especially with the approval of the Pfizer vaccine from the FDA, that the acceptance in those situations will be greater. And we look forward to providing other additional information for those folks who need to get a little more confidence built up, a little more information so that they can move forward and get those vaccines.
Thank you, Johnny. With that, we'll take any questions. I'll take that.
A moment ago, sir, you said that all those beds are full. I see you guys are literally served today, or almost full?
No, they're full. Renee, do you want to come and comment on that more directly? Renee's our chief of staff of the Department of Health that alerted me to this, and so I want you to give the update.
It's our understanding this morning from COVID-COM, which places our COVID patients in ICU from the ED to the ICUs, doesn't have any availability showing on the dashboard. Okay. Now, what we are looking at is, you know, we got those proposals through the Recovery Fund Steering Committee for Baptist and Unity. Unity is still trying to open their beds. Baptist has opened all of theirs, and we have received word from one of our hospitals that they are going to open some additional ICU beds today, and then maybe later in the week. They're trying to secure staffing is what they're trying to do right now.
At the moment, at this hour, we're maxed out.
We are maxed out for COVID ICU beds, yes.
Which hospital is that?
I'd rather not say yet because, you know, this is still preliminary. In fact, I've been texting with them all morning, so.
What's it like to see that we're at this point in the state where we don't have a single ICU bed available for anyone?
well, that we have some beds holding, so hopefully some patients will be transferred out of those beds this morning, and then we'll be able to have some beds available.
Is that concerning to you at all?
Absolutely.
Are we setting aside, as per protocol, a certain number of ICU beds, say for coronary patients, stroke?
We do show on our system, where the hospitals report ICU beds, that there are some ICU beds available. They're just not the it's my understanding that the COVID beds are different simply because of the pressure going into the room has to be a negative pressure. So those beds are different. But we do think there are, our system is showing that there's still availability of some ICU beds out there.
Non-COVID ICU beds.
Non-COVID ICU beds, yes. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you, Ray. And what this means is, one, we're working very quickly to increase the number of ICU beds for COVID patients. We realize that it's the availability is not there now. We hope, as Renee said, that there'll be some that will be released, some will be freed up, and we'll try to bring more online. Secondly, it is important to understand that there are ICU beds that are non-COVID patients. And then what happens is that if you're a COVID patient and you're brought to a hospital to go to the emergency room, and there's not space there, then we have to wait until one is freed up. And that's the challenge that you get into, because that impacts the entire system. So we hope that this bottleneck is temporary. We get some others online very quickly.
Do we know how many ICU beds for non-COVID patients are available?
We'll have to get that to you.
Are you guys working with hospitals out of state to provide care for these patients who are going into these hospitals who possibly do have to wait for that medical attention?
Well, every state's in the same boat. The ICU beds are limited, and primarily because of the limitations on staff. And so we have, under our agreement with Unity Hospital, for example, they're working hard in Searcy to bring additional beds online and to bring staffing in place. So that will be forthcoming. Baptist has already brought their ICU beds for COVID patients online. That has given us some relief as well. So this is something we've got to handle within our state, and obviously we'll take additional steps if some of those ICU beds are not freed up very shortly, or we can't bring some online.
So a few weeks ago there was a visit from the White House surge response team. Did that not do anything? Did that not help at all?
They made some recommendations that we have followed those recommendations, and some of the additional space that we have a result of those recommendations and the way that we've managed the space.
Governor, to your knowledge, have we reached this point before in terms of COVID beds and ICU? Is this unprecedented?
It is. We were down to, I believe it was about six available COVID beds at one point, probably about a month ago. We brought more online, and so Dr. Romero, did you want to comment on this? Come on, Dr. Romero.
And again, Health Secretary Dr. Jose Romero.
Thank you, Governor. So to the question as what percentage of the ICU beds are occupied by COVID patients, it is just short of 50%. 50%. In the first wave, that is that wave that ended in January, we were not at this level. We had beds available at the very end. It clearly shows that we have ongoing infection. That infection is significant and severe. It points that the way out of this problem at this point is vaccination. Without it, we're going to continue to exceed the number of beds we make available. So each time we make beds available, they will become filled. It is important that everyone understand that vaccines are the way out. For those individuals that are in high-risk conditions, they should secure therapy with monoclonal antibodies. Again, the governor has talked about this before. I want to stress that has decreased hospitalizations by 70 to 80% for those individuals at high risk. That includes children 12 years and older. So please avail yourselves of those options. I'll stop there.
The FDA's approval yesterday of the Pfizer vaccine, I had a couple questions for you related to that. Are you, given that it's gotten the full approval, are you going to urge more businesses in the state to require that their employees get vaccinated? And also, given the approval, are you giving second thought to whether or not to ask the legislature to revisit the ban on vaccine mandates by government agencies?
The first answer, the first question, relates to private businesses, and I've always supported the private sector and the decisions they need to make for their workplace, and so they have that prerogative. I support them in making that decision. Many will decide not to because of the staffing challenges that they have or the unique environment that they might work. Others might reach a different decision. I do believe that because there's FDA full approval now, that there'll be more businesses that look at that as a public health requirement in their workplace. That is their decision. I support their freedom to make that decision for the workplace. In terms of the state government, at this time I do not anticipate any change or action that would necessitate a change in the prohibition on having a vaccine requirement for state employees or issued by the state.
Why not require state employees to get vaccinated?
Well, because the law prohibits it. There's a law on the books that the legislature passed that says we cannot have a vaccine mandate requirement. And so, for example, in state government, we have, if you're not vaccinated, you have to wear a mask if you cannot socially distance. So those are the public health requirements, but there is not a mandate in place, and the law prohibits that.
Have you had a chance to look at the new UAMS model?
I have not.
It's pretty chilly. It's forecasting, and I'm just a renewed surge in cases over the next 30 days. I wonder if you or your staff or has any thoughts on that.
Well, we will review it, if you look at the big picture, most of the national studies look at Missouri and Arkansas as our case is flattening out, and you see that over the last couple of weeks. So I'm encouraged with that, but as you know, hospitals and deaths are trailing indicators. And so even though our cases have flattened out most recently, our hospitalizations can still continue up for some time. And I think that's what we're seeing right now. And so I think the concern about the projections would be, what is the impact of school? And the fact that that's going on, and that's wait and see. We all, want to make sure we have the right options for our school districts on our public health requirements so we maintain the cases. Right now, we're operating well and smoothly, but with everyone going back to school, I think that's probably part of the reason for the concern expressed.
Parts or the modeling that I'm looking at is projecting that the biggest relative increase in hospitalizations will be in children 17 and under.
I haven't read the report, so I just can't comment on it at this time. Dr. Remember, do you have anything on that? Okay.
So I've not read the report in depth, but I have perused it and skimmed the major points. You are correct. The largest group of increase will be seen in these individuals in school. This is not something new to us. We have been talking about this from this podium for the last several months. That is one of the reasons why children should use masks in school. We recommend vaccinating those individuals 12 and older to protect them. It is essential to protect those individuals and to limit the spread in schools. Again, the mask is important for preventing transmission in schools. That is all we can do for those children 5 to 11.
Let's go remotely. Are there any questions remotely?
Yes, Governor, it's Mitch at Channel 4 and Fox. For several weeks, we've heard warnings from the hospitals about COVID cases, hospitalizations, the ICU beds. A couple weeks ago, you and I think the chief of staff over at the health department said that plans were in the work for additional staffing and bed space. So one could argue, I guess the state might only be being reactive right now. I mean, why are ICU beds full if these plans have been in the works now for at least 2 weeks, if not longer?
Well, first of all, the plans that have been put into place are now operational. And so thank goodness we took those steps to increase capacity. And we did that at a time that we were not full, but we could see the increase and we wanted to make sure we had a margin. And so we put in millions of dollars in expanding ICU bed space for COVID patients as well as other bed space. Some of those are still in progress. UniHealth has not brought theirs online yet. And so we've got more coming. And so what you, there has been planning and there has been those steps taken, and thank goodness we took those steps. Next question.
Anything new on when the vaccine might be available for children 12 and under? Anything from Washington or?
I was disappointed yesterday that the FDA did not give more explanatory information on the 12 and under and the fact that they were not included on the FDA approval. And of course, the reason is that their data follows the adult population, and so they just do not have the data yet as they did with the adult population. And so you can almost sequence that out as that approval was in, I believe, May that we went to 12 and up in that younger age. And so it's just going to take more time. Dr. Romero might want to venture a time frame, but I do not.
I think we would wait at this point.
Yeah. But I did ask the FDA for more clarification that they explain why the, 16 and under? 16 and under was not approved by the FDA. They need to explain that it's just simply a matter that their data came in after the adult data did. So it's not unusual. We'll wait and see what the time frame is. With that, thank you all very much today.
And that was Governor Asa Hutchinson speaking in his weekly media briefing on the coronavirus pandemic. You're listening to 89.1 KRAR Little Rock, a service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. Just a brief rundown of what we heard from the governor today. We did not hear a case update yet. We did hear an update on vaccinations. The state gave out just under 11,000 doses over the past 24 hours. Perhaps the big news, the biggest news from today's media briefing from the governor is that the state's ICU beds are completely full. Those are ICU beds that are specifically for COVID-19 patients in what is known as a positive pressure room. We heard today that the state's COVID-com system has determined that there are no more ICU beds specifically for COVID-19 patients in the state. We heard a breakdown that's just short of 50% of all overall ICU beds in Arkansas, so there are still some available for non-COVID patients. And again, it's a very fluid situation. Those numbers could change by the end of the day even. But as of right now, at just before noon here on Tuesday, the state is completely out of ICU beds for coronavirus patients. We heard an update from the governor speaking with the White House Coronavirus Task Force. He said he just got off the phone with them today, giving an update on booster shots. Of course, yesterday we heard the FDA had approved the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine, officially gave it full approval. And we also heard that they approved booster shots, getting a third shot for those of us who received the two-dose coronavirus vaccines, the Pfizer and Moderna. We heard the governor say that the earliest date he expects booster shots to be available for the general population is September 20th. Booster shots are, of course, available right now for some immunocompromised individuals, but Governor Hutchinson saying that for pretty much everyone else who's already been fully vaccinated with those two-dose shots, the earliest day for a booster shot will be September 20th. And, of course, that only applies for people who've had 8 months pass since they've received their second dose. So, basically, if you'd been vaccinated on January 20th, you can get your booster shot beginning on September 20th, and so on and so forth. We heard a little bit of data about the average age of people hospitalized with COVID-19 in Arkansas. We heard that in November of 2020, the average age was about 64 years old. The average COVID-19 patient in a hospital in Arkansas, we hear now that that has gone down to 54.6 years old. 54 and a half years old is now the average age of the typical COVID-19 patient in Arkansas's hospitals. So we see that number going down. We heard that just under 300 students and teachers and staff members in public schools in Arkansas have contracted COVID-19 since last week. That was an update from Education Secretary Johnny Key, but he said that no school districts as of yet have had to pivot to virtual classes. All of the state school districts remain in person, and of course, school just beginning last week for most students in Arkansas. We heard that he would be partnering with the Department of Health and the Arkansas Activities Association for vaccine clinics at some regional rivalry football games on Friday nights. Some more information about that will be coming. And finally, we heard an advisory about ivermectin. We heard that the State Department of Health will be posting an advisory on it. Ivermectin basically is a cattle dewormer. It's a drug that is approved for use in humans, but we heard that the state's Poison Control Center has been receiving an increasing number of calls from people who've been taking the veterinary version of this drug and possibly overdosing on that. So basically, the Department of Health is saying do not take drugs that are meant for animals. And again, you've been listening to the governor's weekly coronavirus briefing here on 89.1 KYR. No coronavirus totals today, but the big news that ICU bed space for COVID-19 patients are there is no more ICU bed space for them. We heard it again, the earliest date for booster shots for COVID-19 vaccines, the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, will be September 20th here in Arkansas. It's currently open for immunocompromised individuals, but for everyone else, September 20th will be the earliest, according to Governor Asa Hutchinson. And you'll have to wait 8 months after you receive your second dose to receive a booster. Thanks for listening. You can hear more during our newscast on All Things Considered this afternoon. This is KYR 89.1.